श्रीशुनवाच
तदा विज्ञाय भगवान्
सर्वात्मा सर्वदर्शना
सैरन्द्रियकामतप्त्या प्रियामिच्छान् गृहं व्यय
श्रीशुक उवाच
Shri Shukavacha,
Shri
Shukadev Goswami said,
Atta,
then, Vigyaya, understanding,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Lord,
Sarva,
of all, Atma, the soul,
Sarva,
of everything,
Dashana,
the seer.
Sairandhya,
of the serving girl, Trivakra.
Kama,
by lust.
Taptaya,
troubled.
Priyam,
the satisfaction.
Ichan,
wanting.
Griham,
to her house.
Yayao,
event.
Yes.
Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, next, after assimilating Uddhava's report, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the omniscient soul of all that be, desired to satisfy the serving girl Trivakra, who was troubled by lust. Thus he went to her house. Purport. This text gives an interesting insight into the Lord's pastimes. The first line says, Atta Vigyaya Bhagavan, thus the Lord understanding Uddhava's report. The second line states that Lord Krishna is the soul of everything, Savatma, and the seer of everything, Savadarshana. In other words, although he certainly does not depend on spoken reports from messengers, he plays a part of a human being and listens to news from a messenger, not out of need, as we would do, but in the bliss of his spiritual pastimes, exchanging love with his pure devotee. The word Savadarshana also indicates that the Lord perfectly understood the feelings of the residents of Raj and was perfectly reciprocating with them within their hearts. Now in his external pastimes, he desired to bless Srimati Trivakra, who was about to be freed from the disease of material lust. Sri Shuka Vacha, Atta Vigyaya Bhagavan Savatma Savadashana Sairandriya Kamathaptaya Priyam Ichan Priham Yayao. Shukadev Goswami said, next, after assimilating Uddhava's report, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the omniscient soul of all that be, desired to satisfy the serving girl Trivakra, who was troubled by lust. Thus he went to her house. Amma Gyana Timlandasya Gananjana Slakya Shakshamunitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasapane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tamne Namaste Sarasati Devi Kauravani Kuchani Nini Visesa Sunyavadi Pasicha Desha Karne. It is interesting here in the purport that is stated that this text gives an interesting insight into the Lord's pastimes. Isn't it that when it's anything related to Krishna, it's nothing but interesting? And as we read the Bhagavatam, we get so many interesting insights into the Lord's pastimes. Sometimes it feels with so many contradictions. I say that here, Uddhava came back from Vrindavan and gave his report about the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He gave his report to Krishna. And Krishna was listening to the report and assimilating that report. At the same time, he's known as Savatma, the super soul within everyone's heart. So by that, he already knows everything. And he's also Savadarshana. He sees everything. So what need is there of any report? He already knows everything. So, therefore, the Prabhupada gave a very interesting explanation. That yes, Krishna does not really need any open report, any written report or spoken report, because he already knows everything. But yet, he came in the form of a human being and performing a pastime like a human being. So he also received reports. This is personalism. Impersonalism means, Krishna already knows everything. What do I need to do? What do I need to make any report to him? Krishna can do everything, I don't need to do anything. I just sit at home and just do nothing. So although Krishna does not need, but we need. So therefore make report. Like every morning we make a report. We report to our deities, so many books distributed, so much Lakshmi collect, been liberated for his service. So we make that report, and you can also make a personal report every day in front of the service. Oh my dear Lord, Radha Balaba, I performed this service for pleasure yesterday. I did this nonsense, I did that nonsense. And I did this service, I did that service. You can give a personal report. So in this way, the relationship with Krishna is actually very personal. It's nothing impersonal. It's a very, very personal relationship. And Krishna is the perfect reciprocator. He reciprocates perfectly with his devotees. So, also, was trying to find out actually where it ended yesterday, the verses. I was reading also when Uddhava left, was leaving Vrindavan, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were also thinking that even though they were separated from Krishna, they did not want to be separated from him in one sense. They want to continue just remembering him, chanting his glories, serving him. In this way, they were never separated. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mamayam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. The living entity, they are eternally part and parcel, like fragmented part and parcel. So we are all part and parcel of Krishna, part of Krishna. How can there be any separation at any time? So when we feel separated from Krishna, that's what it means, Maya. Maya means we feel ourselves separated from Krishna. But the fact is that we are eternally part and parcel of Krishna. We never separated from Krishna. So similarly, Krishna, he also sees the living entity as part and parcel of him. So being part and parcel, of course, Krishna has special feelings towards the living entities. And he reciprocates according to the living entity's desire, according to the living entity's endeavor. As he's also said in Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. He rewards accordingly. So here, so in his internal pastime, he's having this loving exchange with his pure devotees. Not out of need, but out of just loving exchange. It's just like I was telling the crossway devotee the other day on the way down. When you're a parent, just by interacting with the children, your child, and as you see them growing up, you get to actually learn a lot of things about Krishna consciousness. The reciprocation you have with your child, the way you see them grow and all that. I learned so much just by observing my daughter when she was very small, as she was growing. It gave me a lot of insight, interesting insight, the nature of Krishna consciousness. So actually, Krishna consciousness means to have our eyes open, ears open, observe the phenomenon around us, and from there you can actually relate so many things to Krishna consciousness. And one of the things I was telling, when you see a child learning how to walk, when he's beginning to learn how to walk, and how many times a child will walk one step, boom, he fall down. Pick himself up, walk, and fall down. But you never see the child getting on the mental platform. I'm not going to walk anymore. I failed so many times. I already failed. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. But no, it doesn't even cross the mind. Just straight away he'll pick himself up and start walking. And especially with a little encouragement from the parents. And how the parents encourage, very good. You make one step. Wow. Just one tiny step. And the parent gets so excited and gives so much encouragement. So what do you learn from that? Anyone to try?
Success is never ending, failure is never final.
Pardon?
Success is never ending, failure is never final.
Never final, failure, okay.
One lecture that even when we fall on the floor, but we take support on the same floor to rise.
To rise, yeah.
Similarly, in Krishna consciousness also, we have to take the support of the holy name itself, even if we fall.
Okay, that's also an interesting insight. Any other interesting insight? What about the parents? Maybe you've forgotten. They're so old now, the kids. Yes, Mataji? Say that again. He appreciates the endeavor. Yeah. Doesn't see how many times we fail. He appreciates the endeavor. What about the newer mothers? Any insight? You want to share? Yes?
Every parent knows
that it is nature to walk, it's no big deal. Because they are all walking and they know it's not. So even though they see it's fall down, they are very sure that this is your nature is to walk and it's just a growing process only, and then so they encourage anyway. So similarly, getting Krishna consciousness is the original nature. So Krishna encourages us in a similar way.
You stole my line. Yeah, that was one I learned. You can see how different perspective you can learn from things. Not everyone see things differently. And that was what I learned. Inherently, unless the child has some sickness there, every child is inherently has the ability to walk. So similarly, every living entity is inherently Krishna conscious. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema Satya Kabanai Sravanidhi Sudhichite Koroidai. By nature we are Krishna, we are love of Krishna. It's just been covered. By the process of hearing, chanting, that love will blossom, become awakened. So the child, inherently the child can walk. You just take. So even though we may seemingly fail, pick up. Don't get on the mental platform. Knowing with full assurance that every step we make is to our eternal credit. Neabhi kramnasasi pachavajo nivichati swapam abhyasa dhamasya trati mahato bayat. That every endeavor on this path is never lost. Even a little advancement is never lost. And it protects one from the greater sphere. What is the greater sphere? To fall down again from the human form and fall down to the animal form. And the encouragement that the parents give is also gave me an interesting insight as a manager at that time, that how often with a child, just little bit of progress, one step, what big deal? And we're so encouraging. And if we can apply the same attitude of encouragement towards everyone, how inspired and how encouraged everyone will be. Every devotee we meet, and we just catch them doing something nice. Even though it may not be something big, something nice. But to that person, it's very important. And just say a word of encouragement. You have no idea how far that can go. Just like I said, Jia Qian, very nice, and then they were floating in the sky. You can see in their face, beaming from year to year. I remember many years back, I used to come back when I was still living in Denmark. I was visiting Malaysia very often. When I go to India, I always stop over in Malaysia. And supposedly I went to a Sunday feast and I said something to one devotee. I can't even remember what I said. 10 years later, when I moved to Malaysia, I met the devotee, and he came up to me, and he said, you know, about 10 years ago, he said this to me, and he really opened up my eyes, and I felt so encouraged. I took up Krishna consciousness very seriously from that point. And I can't even remember what I said. I just said some normal conversation. I just give him a word of encouragement, and it really struck me when he came to me and said that. And it made me think that we are interacting with people all the time, and we have no idea sometimes how much impact we have on every person we meet. In sales, they call it moment of truth. The moment of truth. That's what they call it in sales. So every one of us can be a very, very powerful impact on everyone we meet. It's not that everyone we meet, we have to give them a whole Srimad Bhagavatam in 18 minutes. You know? But just a word, a sentence. And that is exactly what that person needs for that day. And especially if it's a word of encouragement. I remember back in 1978, I think, there was this devotee, Yogeshwara Prabhu. He was helping Sasura Maharaj in compiling the Lilamrita. So he was visiting Sweden at that time, and I was at Sankirtan. I was not in the temple, I was in traveling Sankirtan. But we got those lectures. He was just describing the different qualities of Prabhupada, you know. And one of the qualities he was describing was how Prabhupada was always very encouraging. Sometimes in a kirtan, he would just raise his fingers a bit, and the devotees would fly through the roof. Even when Prabhupada was very sick, practically leaving his body in London, he could hardly move, and he was there in the kirtan. He was sitting on his, I think the rocking chair or whatever asana, and the kirtan was already pretty wild, and Prabhupada just, it was very imperceptible, just a slight movement of his finger, devotees saw it and they were jumping. How Prabhupada could just encourage and lift everyone up just with a little gesture. And he went on to make one statement that really struck me. That he said the material energy is already pushing everyone down. She don't need any existence. She's already very good at it, keeping everyone down. Right, with the most of material nature and pressing everyone down. The threefold miseries. But what everyone needs is a little bit of encouragement. And we see here how Krishna is actually very encouraging. How he encourages everyone. We see Trivakra. She just offered just a little bit of service. And she was approaching Krishna with lust. With lustly desires. Yet Krishna reciprocated with that service that she offered. Maybe we can just read a little bit. We go backwards a bit. And see that point where Krishna met her. This is described in the 10th canto, chapter 42, in text number 1. Shukadeva Goswami said, as he walked down the king's road, Lord Madhava then saw a young hunchback woman with an attractive face, who carried a tray of fragrant ointments as she walked along. The bestower of the ecstasy of love smiled and inquired from her as follows. Who are you, O beautiful Thai one? Ah, ointment. Who is it for, my dear lady? Please tell us truthfully. Give us both some of your finest ointment and you will soon gain a great boon. I read the purport from a previous one. You should describe who this Trivakra actually is. According to Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the young hunchback girl was actually a partial expansion of the Lord's wife Satyabhama. Satyabhama is the Lord's internal energy known as Bhu Shakti, and this expansion of hers known as Prithivi represents the earth, which was bent down by the great burden of countless wicked rulers. Lord Krishna descended to remove these wicked rulers, and thus his pastime of straightening out the hunchback, Trivakra, as explained in these verses, represents his rectifying the burden condition of the earth. At the same time, the Lord awarded Trivakra a conjugal relationship with himself. And here in the Prabhupada again, the Lord jokingly addressed the ladies, Varoru, O beautiful Taiwan. His joke was not malicious, since he was actually about to make her beautiful. So again, so many interesting insights with the deep insight of the, by hearing from the acharyas, we can get an interesting insight into the persons of Krishna, who this hunchback really is, and how symbolic the whole pastimes also. How this Trivakra represents the earth, bent in threefold form. It's been like the earth planet has been overburdened. If you remember in the beginning of the 10th canto, the Mother Earth was feeling overburdened by the military arrangement on the earth. So she went to see Lord Brahma, and together with the demigods, they went to Svetadip, offering the prayers, imploring Vishnu to appear to release the burden on Mother Earth. So Trivaka was overburdened by the all these wicked rulers, and Krishna straightened her up, as you read in the next verses here. The maid servant replied, "O handsome one, I am a servant of King Kamsa, who highly regards me for the ointments I make. My name is Trivakra. Who else but you too deserve my ointments, which the Lord of the Bhojas likes so much?" So Sri Vishwana Chakravarti explains that Trivakra, who is also known as Kubja, used a singular address, Sundara, O handsome one, to hint that she felt conjugal desire for Krishna alone. And she used the dual form, Yuvam, for both of you, to try to hide her conjugal sentiment. The hunchback's name, Trivakra, indicates that her body was bent at the neck, chest, and waist. So her mind, overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty, charm, sweetness, smiles, words, and glances, Trivakra gave both Krishna and Balaram generous amounts of ointments. Anointed with these most excellent cosmetics, which adorned them with hues that contrasted with their complexions, the two lords appeared extremely beautiful. Lord Krishna was pleased with Trivakra, so he decided to straighten the hunchback girl with a lovely face, just to demonstrate the result of seeing him. Pressing down on her toes with both his feet, Lord Achyuta placed one upward pointing finger of each hand under her chin, just like that, and straighten up her body. Simply by Lord Mukunda's touch, Trivakra was suddenly transformed into an exquisitely beautiful woman with straight, evenly proportioned limbs and large hips and breasts. Now endowed with beauty, character, and generosity, Trivakra began to feel lusty desires for Lord Keshava. Taking hold of the end of his upper cloth, she smiled and addressed him as follows. Trivakra said, "Come, O hero, let us go to my house. I cannot bear to leave you here, O best of males. Please take pity on me, since you have agitated my mind." So in the purport again, Sri Vishwana Chakravarti supplies the following conversation. "Krishna, is it for the purpose of dining that you are inviting me to your house?" Trivakra, "I simply can't leave you here." Krishna, "But people here on the king's road will misconstrue what you are saying and laugh. Therefore, please don't speak like this." Trivakra, "I can't help being agitated. You made the mistake of touching me. It's not my fault." Thus entreated by the woman, Lord Krishna first glanced at the face of Balaram, who was watching the incident, and then at the faces of the cowboys. Then with a laugh, Krishna replied to her as follows. "O lady with beautiful eyebrows, as soon as I fulfill my purpose, I will certainly visit your home, where man can relieve the anxiety. Indeed, you are the best refuge for us homeless travelers." Leaving her with these sweet words, Lord Krishna walked further down the road. So that was Trivakra. So Krishna, she wanted Krishna to visit her home, and Krishna is reciprocating now to perform the pastime of visiting the home of Trivakra. And Trivakra just offered just a little service. Krishna asked for the ointments, and she appreciated the beauty of Krishna, and she offered the ointments to Krishna and Balaram. And although she may have lusty intent, Krishna accepted that service. And in the next verse, it will be described how she's decorating her homes and with all these different oils and arrangement, just to increase the conjugal feelings. So in this way, Krishna reciprocates with so many devotees in so many different ways. It's, for example, when he entered Mathura, different inhabitants of Mathura were seeing him differently. Kamsa, when he heard that he was relating to Krishna with fear, he could see this is death personified coming. The young girls and the women of Mathura, they were seeing, oh, such so beautiful. They saw him as a most beautiful boy. And of course the parents, the cowherd men, they said they were Krishna is a child. It's our child, Vrindavan. So even though, because we are all individual living beings, as individual living beings, we have individual tastes. This is not all one like the Mayavadis. How boring can it be? The Mayavadis is all one. There's no relationship, there's no rasas, no flavor, no taste. So flat. Just like here, most of you from India, you are used to spicy food. Of nice spicy food. One day, just boil potatoes, boil vegetables, just boil. No salt, no pepper, no nothing. And just serve it up. Plain rice. Not very attractive. Isn't it? So, Krishna consciousness is filled with so many different rasas. We read in the Nectar Devotion, there are five primary rasas of conjugal love, of parental relationship, friendship, servitude, and neutrality. And then within the five primary rasas, there's secondary rasas, like anger, there's fear, so on. And within there are so many sub. So in the pastime of Krishna, there are major plots, subplots. Everyone likes to have like to watch a good movie, and with Krishna Lila is filled with all this. We always talk about how, you know, if these big producers and directors just take something from the Krishna book, or take something from Mahabharata, Ramayana, they have unlimited materials for making so many movies. And they don't have to pay all these copyrights. They can save so much money paying all these copyrights. Just take it. It's free. And they can make wonderful movies. Instead of creating some heroes, you know, Superman, Batman, you know. They have so many heroes. People love heroes. And Krishna is the perfect hero. Ramchandra is the perfect hero. So I hope someday some devotees will create all this, you know, in a Hollywood style with all the special effects and everything. What they did in India, it was nice, Mahabharata, but sometimes the scenes are a bit, especially fighting scenes, is very unreal. It's amazing, isn't it? In India, some of the biggest export is all these computer experts, programmers and everything, and then when they make a movie, they make all this like cartoon kid stuff, arrows flying straight and repeating the same fighting scene over and over again, just to save some few rupees. So hopefully someday someone will make something. So are there any questions or comments? Yes.
We met a deity, Krishna, compared to the siddhas. People might think that it's not true, that it's false, like every other movie made.
Well, the thing is that, what was that? Someone was asking Kadamba Kanu Maharaj, one of the lecture, about being stagnant in devotional service. Because he was talking about as we advance, sometimes the tests become more severe. So maybe we should not advance so fast, And Maharaj answered, which can also be used to answer this question, you cannot not advance when you come into contact with Krishna. In any way, any form, you get. Just like people may take prasadam and they think this is just free food, a cheap food. They may not appreciate that it's prasadam. Like Prabhupada often said, if you take the medicine, you may not understand what the medicine is. You may not even like it. I tell any of the child, do you like taking medicine? Do you like taking medicine? But when you take medicine, it works. Yeah, it works. You may not like it. Think what you like to think, but the effect will be there. When you come into contact with Krishna consciousness, you just, and this is just, see how powerful. I mean, even from this point, how can Krishna consciousness not take over the world? There is no stopping it. Inevitably, somehow, people is going to come in contact with Krishna consciousness, one way or the other. All you can try to do is just speed up. It's already done, like Krishna showed Arjuna in the universal form. All these soldiers, they're already killed. But I want you to take the credit. The deed is already done, I want you to take the credit. So, Lord Nityananda predicted that this chanting of Hare Krishna will be spread every town and village. So there's still a lot of towns and villages have not heard holy name. It's just a matter of time. People will become Krishna conscious eventually. Some this lifetime, some next lifetime, some take a few more lifetimes. It will happen. That's the answer. You see, when you actually understand Krishna consciousness in a proper perspective, it's always so encouraging. Sometimes I see devotees, they're down, they're a bit morose. I ask, what is the reason? There's no reason whatsoever for anyone who practicing Krishna consciousness to feel morose, to feel down, to feel discouraged. There's so many things in Krishna consciousness that can make us encouraged, feel encouraged. It doesn't matter what the external situation is. We can always take encouragement. Isn't it? Any other questions, comments? That's funny. That she came at a, why she came at, well, not specifically, as it was explained, she was, I don't know if she was born or whatever, this, I've not come across anything how she became. I just as you read in the earlier chapter, the explanation came as it just represents the earth, because she's a partial expansion of Satyabhama, who is Bhu Devi, who represents the earth. So it just symbolize, represent that the earth is overburdened. So, we aim here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.